Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Everyone, welcome to BIB Radio. You are listening to us on Black Talk Radio Network, where we air every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are at November 10th, that's right, November 10th, 2016. And of course, I'm sure on everyone's radio program, they've been talking about the new elected Donald Trump. We'll get into that tonight with our guest. Do we have my co-host on the line, Brother Robert?
If you can hear me, I'm here.
I can hear you.
Well, I'm on the line, and how are you today, Cece?
I am excellent. So what is going on in your world? How's life treating you now that you have a new president?
Well, in my opinion, it is treating me as well as I have been treating myself.
Okay.
Hillary, Trump, Obama, Bush, Clinton, I've felt nothing from the effects of either one of those people. Now, I said Trump, but I shouldn't have put him in that category because he just got in. However, none of those people that I mentioned prior to Trump, or after Trump, rather, were not business people. So maybe for the elite of Americans who are in Fortune 500 or six-figure businesses, maybe this may be a great opportunity for their businesses to receive some extra benefits from this man being in office, and maybe that trickle down of businesses as well, because I mean there's going to be a lot of tax breaks, I'm sure, created for businesses, period. So I mean, one way or the other, either way, it definitely hasn't affected me in the past, and it's a possibility that it could in a business way affect me, but neither way, I didn't vote for neither one of them. So that's that.
Well, that's an interesting way to think of things. I mean, I guess we have to look at the glass half full some kind of way, but, you know, like you were saying, none of these other presidents or anybody else has ever benefited us. Me personally, I was quite taken aback. I don't know why, but I mean, this is how it always is. our people tend to try to jump on one side or the other as if it does benefit them, and it never does benefit them. I mean, just it's just so ridiculous. I mean, getting so emotional. Of course, we've seen people getting very emotional because Hillary didn't win, because there were a lot of people looking for the first woman president and this and that. I mean, it just shows me that people do not read. They do not study information. They do not analyze situations. They just kind of go along with the crowd. Because why else would you vote for somebody just because they're a woman? I guess the same reason why you would vote for somebody just because they're black. I mean, you think that they would have your best interest at heart because they share the same sex or the same race, but we know history tells us that that is not true. So even today, you know, people's eyes have not, you know, been opened, although this has been fact, time after time, election after election. So I don't know.
You know, a lot of what I've heard and what I've read on Facebook has really showed me the gap between the striving to have and the have-nots. We're not even talking about the haves. We're talking about, when I say striving to have, mm-hmm. that's the small business owners striving to have more than just what they have right now. And mm-hmm. and those 9-to-5ers, these are the majority of those ones are the ones who were hoping that Hillary got in office, especially being a black or Hispanic, anything other than Caucasian. I just was blown away at their hope that this woman would get in office, and especially being black, when they incarcerated more black people than any other president that I could think of on their watch. So Mr. Clinton, and his wife was there with him, so she gets that jacket along with him. But I mean, for black people to be crying about this woman not getting in political office, overlooking these facts, there's a lot more facts that they're overlooking. The fact that she had Muammar Gaddafi killed. It's a list of things that they've done. And then we got black folks crying about that. That clearly shows me that there is a different mindset, no doubt about it, from the entrepreneur and the 9-to-5er. And unfortunately, that gap is widening. This is why I strongly, in all my years of being in business, I push to the conscious community, to the religious sector. I keep pushing do for self, become an entrepreneur, not just for the money, what it does for you mentally, the vision that it encourages and enhances in one's own self is beyond measure. The less you use that muscle, the more you are dependent on someone on the outside to change your reality on the inside. And that's never going to happen, and that's why you see these people crying like babies, you know, trying to get, because Hillary didn't get in office. And that was the most disturbing thing for me to see, to hear, to read, not just with when I say the striving to have and the have not, that doesn't have no bearing on your religious belief. I've saw Christians, Muslims, all kind of religious backgrounds crying about this woman getting in office. Had one Muslim woman tell me she felt sorry for me for not voting. And I was just blown away. You know, it just blew me away. So if you don't get up, I say this to our people all the time. If you don't put one foot, it's real simple mathematics. if you don't put your left foot in front of your right foot and continuously do that, you're not making any forward motion. You have to continuously put that one, the left in front of the right, then the right in front of the left, in order to move forward. If you don't do that, you're not going to go forward. So if you don't do that for your life, your economics, your spiritual growth, your physical benefit, nobody else can come along and make those steps for you. Nobody else can make that life better for you. No elected official, no pastor, no imam, no doctor can make that, can do for you what you can do for yourself. And this is the thing that most of America, most black people especially, are missing the point. And this is the point that we need to be seeing in order to go forward. Because, I mean, that this election showed me just how dependent we are on somebody else coming along and moving us forward. And that was the saddest thing that I've ever witnessed in my 51 plus years on this earth. It just really blew me away. This election blew me away. I'm happy with the outcome. I don't give a damn at the same time. I don't give a damn about the outcome because I never gave a damn about none of the outcomes, and I've kept moving forward in my business life.
Brother Robert and CC,
at least y'all got a businessman. And I said that, when I said y'all, that means all of America. I'm a part of that, y'all. But at least you got a businessman. How bad he is when it comes to running this country, who knows?
Hold on. Scotty wanted to say something, Robert. He's there.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, Scotty. How you doing, bro?
I'm okay. I'm doing the best I can under these conditions. But I just wanted to let you all know, I didn't know if you... I know neither one of you are looking at the board, our new board. uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. We have a chat. We also, you can unmute your guest and callers. And I believe your first guest is online and has been online since the start.
Now, wait a minute. Now, I did get the message on how to log, to call in. So what is it?
You also got the link to the conference. It's uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. But do you want me to go ahead and unmute your guests? You want to introduce them out and so we don't have to, you know, wait for you to find it and we can bring them right on?
Right. Robert, who is our first guest?
I'm sorry, I'm in here eating. Please forgive me.
Must be good.
It really is. Hold on. I don't want to choke.
Believe it's Mr. Cortez, right?
Yes, it is Cortez. Brother Cortez is a financial mentor. I paid very close attention to him in the early mornings. I start my day off listening to this brother. I really got inspired by him, inspired to listen to him about 3-4 weeks back. I just tuned in because I kind of listened to quite a few different people just for the first time to see if they really delivering something of substance. And most times what I hear from these different financial people on Facebook is usually like they're baiting you in to buy the program. I get the sales pitch on that. But when I listen to Brother Cortez, I got more than what I was getting from everybody else. I mean, he literally was giving you enough information to really benefit from, along with going further, taking it a further step and actually looking into what he has to offer. So we reached out and asked him to come on, and we got him on here. Is he on the line now? Brother Cortez? Brother Scotty?
Yes, I'm here.
Good. CeCe, are you there?
I am here.
All right, then. Well, CeCe, you had the pleasure to talk to Brother Cortez, right?
Well, we mostly emailed, so I'm going to let you go ahead and take the lead on this one because you actually enjoyed what he was saying about the election and what we needed to do going forward as people, as a people.
Right.
So, yeah, so I'll let you go ahead and take the lead in that discussion. Go ahead.
Not a problem. I'm just going to stop eating, y'all. But look, Brother Cortez, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing wonderful, Robert. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing great, man. I must say this to you while I have you on the phone, and we must give each other flowers while we're alive. And this is my time to actually give you some flowers, brother. I must say and admit to you that you have really, really, really inspired me when I listen to you in the morning time. It's just as important as prayer for me, because when you get the correct information in your ear, it's like going to church, because your life can benefit from the correct information. Your life doesn't benefit from incorrect information. So when I listen to these different people, I'm listening for correct information. And when I chimed in on you, brother, I said, now that brother got something to offer the people for real. So we wanted to reach out to you and allow you to use our platform to actually teach what it is that you do to the people that's listening, and then give them your information at the same time, how they can get in touch with you, the whole nine yards. So I want you to just start out by explaining how you got started, what it is that you do, how you got started, and let our people know about what you do.
Awesome. Thank you, Robin. And I really appreciate that, man, that you equate what I bring in the mornings to prayer. Man, that's powerful, and I really appreciate that. Well, guys, as they introduced me, I am H. Cortez, also known as the Financial Health Mentor to the Working Class, where I do my very best to bring practical yet proven wealth-building strategies to working class men and women all across this great nation of ours. I pretty much started as a young lad, man. I've been a serial entrepreneur my entire life. But at some point, I began to have children and raise a family. So I put my entrepreneur endeavors on the shelf and got caught up in corporate America as a way to feed my family. And you will never catch me bashing a job, but you do want to make sure that you put your job in a proper perspective. So a couple years ago, I was working my online business, branding and marketing and things of that nature. And a young lady asked me what I knew about wealth building strategies versus sales. And all my life, I've always known that sales is key. You're going to have to learn how to sell if you're going to make some money. And that was my thought process until January of 2015, where I learned some strategies about money that allowed me to really change my financial future. And since then, I've been teaching people these simple core strategies that every working class person in this country absolutely has to know if they're going to build long-term wealth. And for me, it's all about legacy. I'm trying to leave something for my great-great-grandchildren, man. I want them one day to be proud to bear my name. So the strategies that we teach are simple. If you don't understand how to minimize your taxes, if you don't attack your debt with a vengeance so you can get rid of your debt, if you don't learn how to make money in your sleep, i.e. investing, then you will struggle or work for money until you die.
So very true. You got to know what to do with the money. You got to know how to come off the job. Sometimes people are afraid to come off that job. So in reference to, let's get right into what it is, that actually the people need to know what they should be doing, how they should be working their money. I mean, this is your stage right now.
Okay. Well, definitely, man. And I appreciate the platform and the opportunity to speak to your audience. Definitely, I liken money to medicine in the sense that in the medical profession, they don't want you to understand or get to the root cause of any illness because the money is in treating the symptom. Well, when it comes to your money, if you never get to the root cause of your financial problems, then you'll never solve them and you'll just basically be spinning your wheels. So we like to teach that the two objectives that we're trying to hit, there's four challenges that you have to overcome, and then we provide three awesome solutions to help you overcome those. First, the objectives are you're basically trying to eat today, and then eventually you're going to have to eat tomorrow. So for most people, today's lifestyle is paid for with their labor. And again, there's nothing wrong with laboring. There's nothing wrong with having a job. But know that a job isn't historically designed for you to build wealth. It's for you to maintain. The second objective is we're trying to eat tomorrow. We know that there's going to come a day when we no longer want to work, we're not able to work, or we're not wanted by an employer to work. When that day comes, we're still going to need an income, so our future lifestyle should be paid with investment. Problem is, there are four challenges that are keeping us from doing that effectively and efficiently, and these are the root causes of all struggle for working class men and women. Number one is inflation. If you don't have an answer for inflation, you're going to struggle because the cost of living will continue to go up because, you know, we're not going to get into the fact that the dollar is not backed by anything and it's a fiat currency, it's a debt note and all of that. Just understand when it comes to inflation, the cost of living is always going up and the raises on your job aren't keeping up. As a result, you're slipping backwards financially day by day. Challenge number two is taxes. If you choose to make 100% of your income through labor, like 95% of Americans, you are taxed the absolute most. Point blank, period. Just how the way the system is set up, so you can spin your wheels trying to fight and argue and fuss about the system. But I've learned to stop hating or complaining about the game and learn. How the lifestyle on credit, we finance a car, we finance a house, we finance the furniture, we finance the electronics, the cell phones. Some people are even financing groceries, putting that on credit cards, paying for that little by little. And then the fourth challenge is big business. Every single month, there is some sort of stimulus designed to help separate you from your money. And big business is really good at that. In fact, they spend billions of dollars to understand the psychology of working class people. As a result, they know exactly what music to play when you're in the store. They know what colors to paint the walls. They know where to position each item. And all of that plays a major part because they know working class people are under the feeling that we work just to pay bills. So whenever we get a chance to celebrate, we tend to go overboard. And that just further exacerbates the challenges or the situation that we're currently in. But with all that doom and gloom, there are three solutions. Number one is cash flow management. If you don't understand how to manage your cash flow, then you will struggle. I like to say it like this, because we talk to a primarily black audience. We've never had a problem getting money. In fact, we're some of the most money-getting people on the entire planet. Our problem is a cash flow problem in the sense that too much of our cash is constantly flowing away from us. So we want to help our working class people understand how to stem that tide. Number one, by minimizing taxes. Number two, by eliminating their debt. And number three, by minimizing their expenses. If you can bring an extra $100 a month back into your household by cutting out some expenses, by minimizing your taxes, you can use that extra money to eliminate your debt. Once you're out of debt, now you're in a solid position to build wealth. Our second strategy is business income. Brother Robert, you've been talking about it since I tuned into the show. Entrepreneurship is the new retirement plan for three main reasons. Reason number one, we have to look at our children. If you continue to go to work, get paid, pay bills, go to work, get paid, pay bills, and that's the only thing you're showing your children, what are the chances that they're going to be in a different position than you are when they get to your age, right? So the second reason is more income. There's only three things you can do when you find yourself struggling. You can either spend less, make more, or a combination of the two. So we like to focus on the combination of the two by pairing a job with some sort of home-based business or 1099, because your job will allow you to maintain your stability, but your 1099 will allow you to minimize your taxes even further. So as you guys know, listening to the debate, we heard Donald Trump say he doesn't pay any taxes and that makes him smart. Here's why he doesn't pay any taxes, and here's what most working class people are struggling to understand. Donald Trump is a brand. He is a business. He's a walking business. As a result, 100% of his lifestyle is tax deductible. Well, the good thing about the good old USA, that anybody can become a brand and make a large percentage of their lifestyle tax deductible, just like Mr. Trump. So three reasons that you should have a business. Number one, you got to show your children something different. Number two, you got to start making some extra income. And number three, having a business allows you to reduce your tax liability. Again, one of the four main challenges that working class people have to struggle, have to overcome. And then our third solution is investment income. You have to put yourself in position to start making money from money.
Okay, Brother Cortez, let's have you hold off really quick because it is at the half-hour mark and we've got to take a quick break. You're listening to BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses. You are listening to Blacks in Business Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network. If you have a question or a comment for the guest tonight or the host, give us a call toll free in the U.S. and Canada at 866-510-9025. That number again is 866-510-9025. You can also join via your computer and chat with us at uberconference.com/Black Talk Radio Network. Black Talk Radio, providing you with new black media for the new millennium. And now let's go back to Blacks in Business Radio.
Okay, everyone. We're back. This is Blacks in Business Radio. We are talking with Brother Cortez, and he is letting us know how we need to optimize our financial situations. Go ahead. You were at number three, I believe, right, Brother Cortez?
I was, and we were just getting into strategy number three is basically learning how to generate investment income. If you don't know how to make money in your sleep, then you're going to work until you die. And that's a quote from the great Warren Buffett. And that's just fact. So what we do is through that cash flow management process, when we teach people how to minimize their taxes, eliminate their debt, the cash that they need to start investing, minimize expenses, we teach people how to earn some business income and the importance of a home-based business. then we want to take it one step further and get all of those streams of income flowing into some sort of investment that's going to put that money to work for you and grow that retirement portfolio while you're sleeping. So a combination of those three strategies will help any working class person overcome any financial challenge, because again, it's just four core challenges that you have to overcome. And if you can exercise a little bit of discipline, then you too can build wealth.
Wow. Well, you know, that's very important information, because so many people are still at one place or the other. They're either fully employed by someone else or they're fully self-employed. It's rare that you hear the bridge situation, you know, which is what you provided. Mm-hmm. You need one to facilitate the other so that you can, you know, eventually, if you would like to, become self-sustaining. And that's important to hear because, you know, here I know a lot we really preach doing for self and self-employment, you know. And sure. Brother Robert and I are both in that position. We don't work for an employer. So, you know, and I have in the past, of course. The last actual job that I worked was for the skill and experience, you know, to gain the knowledge and information about what it was that I wanted to do. So I definitely agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that the transitional component is something that you can definitely add in there. Again, for the tax purposes alone, so that you can free up more of your money so that you can position yourself to be fully self-sustained. Because that's what I did. I used this platform for about 20 straight months, and I am newly retired from corporate America as of about 5 weeks ago, based on using this strategy. I have five sons, two in college right now, so my debt obligations and my obligations to my family wouldn't allow me to just walk off my job without a plan. So a home-based business in conjunction with my job allowed me to bring an extra $275 a month back into my household, because you can claim your home-based business up front through adjusting your W-4 form. That helped me eliminate debt and really position myself so that I could free myself of that job. So that's one of the strategies that we preach to those who are working a corporate job, or as Dr. Boyce Watkins says, on the corporate plantation. But you got to have a plan. You have to have an exit strategy if you do plan to walk away, because when you walk away, I want you to ever have to go crawling back.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. A lot of people tend to utilize the information, but they always have like one toe in the water. You know, my plan B is to just go back to work. I can just go back to work. But, you know, you have to make that decision. Do you want to be on a job or do you want to be at home? You know, if you do want to be at home doing a home-based business, you have to, like you said, build an exit strategy. Don't just, you know, don't just all willy-nilly up and just do some foolish things, because then you will end up having to go back. And you may suffer greater consequences than you could ever imagine because you did not plan. So planning is definitely everything. Robert, what do you think?
Oh, no doubt. Cortez had mentioned some things earlier that I wanted to touch on as well. It's going on just a slight to the left a little bit. In reference to the Donald Trump situation, because a lot of people, black people especially, are all in an uproar, and I've said on Facebook as well as when we first got on the show that no man is going to change your situation for you. You are accountable for the direction that your life is going to go in. And I just wanted to hear, Brother Cortez, your take on this whole electoral process with him becoming president. And the sentiments that you have seen on Facebook from our people crying and being upset about Hillary not getting in office, your look at that, and then what do you think this is going to do for Trump being in office in reference to
Cortez, hold on, Robert, a second. Now, we were at point three, Brother Cortez. Did you have more points to sum the whole situation up before we get into the political part?
No, that was it. So we just have those three strategies. You minimize your cash flow management, strategy one, earn business income, strategy two, so you can minimize your taxes, start writing off your lifestyle. Like, for instance, you have a home-based business. Now a percentage of your mortgage or rent is tax-deductible, cell phone, internet bills, miles that you're putting on your car. Literally write off your lifestyle. And then strategy three is investment income. We teach people how to put their money in the same place that the banks put their money and earn double-digit rates of return. So it's just those core strategies, and we call that cash asset cash. Every time you get your hands on some cash, you buy, build, or invest in some sort of an income-producing asset that's going to bring you back more cash. And when that becomes your habit, you build wealth on autopilot.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, so now let's segue into the political scene, and then what I would like to talk about is maybe affiliate marketing and, you know, those other things that you're talking about, making money in your sleep. We'll also talk to the CEO of Black Talk Radio Network, which is Mr. Scotty Reed. We have on the line with us. He will be with us in the second hour, where he will talk to us about building our own radio networks, which also could build income. So let's go ahead and get into the Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton situation. Go ahead.
Well, I like you, Brother Robert, was a little perturbed seeing all of the people crying and the emotional people behind what really just took place. But I just recently did a blog post that said, I care not. The title was, I care not who the president is, because capitalism is still king. What people have to remember is that we are in a capitalistic democracy that is more capitalistic than democratic, right? So the president's one job, the one thing that he cannot mess up and will not mess up is capitalism. So they will always take care of the businesses and the business owners. So I didn't have a stake or a horse in the race, as they say down south, because I know that capitalism is still king. So it doesn't matter who's running the country, there are always going to be opportunities for the entrepreneur. People are being afraid and talking about leaving the country and all of this kind of stuff. So that really took me aback. But for him to be president, I don't think it affects anybody negatively, except for those who may be sitting on their cans waiting for a handout, because traditionally, as the Republican Party has always been anti welfare and pro get off your butt and do some work. So I think a lot of those people who are emotional, or those people whose benefits are going to get cut, or they anticipate their benefits getting cut, and as a result, I don't have much to say to those people other than get on the right side of capitalism. The right side of capitalism is to be a business owner and not just work for them. So I and in a blog post, I said this, and I'll share with you guys here. As an employee, you're going to get one check every 2 weeks. As a business owner, I'm going to get a piece of hundreds of checks every week. Which one would you rather have?
Yes, sir. That's when you are that entrepreneur. When you have something set up in play, just like today, we were at the flea market. We had our business open. We got a piece of hundreds of checks today.
Exactly. Yep.
And that's the side of the coin that black people have to get on. You got to get on this side of the corner. And see, another thing, Brother Cortez, that you said is something that a lot of people dread sales. They really don't want to be a salesman. But as you said it so well, brother, when I heard you early this morning, you got me on fire. Selling is every day, every minute, every hour of the day, something is selling. Selling is the one thing that is continuous 24 hours, just is right there with breathing. And yep. Even when one stops breathing, selling keeps going.
Exactly.
So you got to get wrap your mind around learning to sales, learning how to sell. I always say this. Even when or if they, you know, a lot of people are talking about this cash, the currency of cash is going to no longer exist. Okay, if that, let's say hypothetically that happens, okay, and you don't like sales. Well, if you have to barter with someone, what do you think that is? That's sales.
The negotiation all day.
All day long. We're just using a different currency.
Yeah.
And now you have hard goods, soft goods or hard goods that'll be right. used as a medium of exchange, but you still have to sell.
You have to sell, and I like to, I only got one question when it comes to sales, and that's who's getting the commission.
Right. You show, and it should be you listening, audience. I definitely am not going to ever leave the arena of sales. I don't care where you go, real estate, dentures, whatever. You know, you're going to yeah. have to sell it.
And people don't get it that I don't care what you do on your job. Everything you do on your job, I don't care what company you work for, everything is in support of sales. You can work in IT. I don't care. Your IT work in some way supports the ability to for a product for that company to be sold. You can work as a janitor. I don't care. You're cleaning that building so that building has the right appearance when clients come through the door so something can be sold to them. Everything is in support of sales. So if you don't learn or get comfortable or overcome your fear of sales, then just plan to work for someone else the rest of your life. And guess who you're going to be working for? Someone who's good at sales.
Right. And you know what? I can speak to that, you know, because people do say that all the time. Even people who are self-employed, they don't like to sell. They don't like to talk to people and all this, you know. But, you know, how productive do you want to be at whatever it is that you're doing? If you want to be productive mm-hmm. at anything, you must practice. You must learn how to do a better job. And what I like to tell people when they try to say, oh, I don't like to talk to people or I'm shy or whatever, you know, I tell them, you need to go on meetup.com and go talk to some people, take your business cards, go network. You need to yeah. go join Toastmasters. There's a million Toastmasters all over this country, world, whatever. Go to Toastmasters so you can learn to perfect speaking, you know. But it's those people who really want it, you know. Some people don't really want it, and they're comfortable and they're complacent. But for those that want to overcome their shyness and want to be yeah. better at sales and speaking, you can definitely join those things.
Right. But see, the problem, CC, is not that they're not good, because they're already good, because most of those people you're talking about got children, got spouses, so you're selling every day. What has happened, and this is what I found in my industry, is that the problem that people have with sales is internal. Somewhere along their line of life, someone got over on them with a sale. Someone manipulated them to buy something that they didn't need or that they didn't want, and they are carrying that scar of that experience with them. And now when it comes to sales, they're equating salesperson with someone who manipulates somebody who is sleazy. Because even on TV and media, you see that connotation when it comes to sales. Well, if they can just get past the hurt of that initial experience that caused them to have this bad taste in their mouth when it comes to sales, and understand that the true meaning of what a salesperson is, when I sell, I merely uncover the value of that which I have. And my objective is to do that so well that what I have becomes more valuable than what you have, which is money. If I continue to pour on the value of what I have, then the value of the money in your pocket becomes less and less and less, so much so that it will eventually become worth less, and you will trade it to me for that which I have, and then I just facilitate a medium of exchange at a price point that is comfortable for us both. But it's an internal scarring that I think a lot of people have to get over in order to learn to overcome and become eventually become good at sales.
Mm. Wow. Well, I think just like a whole lot of things, this sales is something that we need to train our children in, you know. Where are you at concerning entrepreneurship in children?
Well, I am very big on that. In fact, I was listening to you guys' show a couple months ago when you had the Young Biz Kids. I'm actually a board member of the Young Biz Kids organization.
Okay.
So we teach entrepreneurship to children. And it has to start there. And the reason I say it has to start there is because most adults are too stubborn to change.
Mm-hmm.
So we let's stop wasting time there. Let's go right after the babies, teach them the importance of entrepreneurship in everything. One of the new initiatives that we're rolling out as Young Biz Kids is STEM through the eyes of entrepreneurship. So we all know that STEM stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Well, the reason that we can't get a lot of our children involved in STEM is because they can't see the money in it, right? Why does every kid want to be a ball player or a rapper or an actor or entertainer? Because they can see the money in that. So if we can get our children to start seeing the money in STEM, see it through the eyes of an entrepreneur, and they start to realize that Beats by Dre made him almost a billionaire, but there's someone who has a patent to some of that technology who gets a licensing fee every time a pair of those Beats headphones are sold. When we can present that to our children, we can get them interested in STEM and a bunch of other programs. But because we present it in the way that you're only going to be able to make a job from this versus a business, and you can't really become wealthy because kids want to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
So we teach them how they can be rich through their education, through the things that they're learning, how they can own businesses as children. And I think that can go a long way with helping us as a community of people get out of the situation that we're in, because our situation is 90% economics. And part of our economic issue is that we don't own or control anything. So if we can take this next generation of babies, get them in the entrepreneurial mindset so they understand the power of ownership, then we can flip this thing on its head in one generation.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that is amazing. I'm glad that you carry that view, and we definitely enjoyed having the Young Biz Kids on. I especially enjoy Mikey's Munchies.
Yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah, Mikey has a great elevator pitch. He's an excellent little businessman. I enjoy him so much. We have to have them on again. Now, what about your own children? Have they ventured off into anything on their own yet? You said they're in college.
Yeah, I have two in college right now. One is studying business finance, and he is in business with me. He just doesn't understand that what they teach in school is everything is predicated on you learning this information so you can sell it to someone else and not for building your own. So I'm working with him to understand, okay, you know business finance. Now how do you make a business out of knowing business finance? So you can go work for someone else, but you can also go and consult for someone else through your own business. And that's the route that I'm trying to teach them, and then ultimately how to develop products and things of that nature behind what you know, sticking to your passions and things of that nature. My younger sons are ball players, so they understand how to set up little basketball camps and things of that nature where they can charge younger kids $5 an hour and they can make money that way. And the other thing that I do is, because one of the strategies we talked about, when you have a home-based business, you can minimize your taxes. Well, we teach people to stop giving your kids allowances and start paying them to work in your home-based business. Two reasons. Number one, it's tax-free for the kid up to $6,300 per year, and it's a tax write-off for the parent or the business.
Mm-hmm.
Then
yep.
What you can do, since they now have their own money, is you can start teaching them investment and money management and cash flow management skills. So when I pay my children, one of the things that they know they have to do is, before they can spend any money on themselves, of course, they have to put some away for the Lord, but then they have to buy, build, or invest in some sort of asset before they can go and get those tennis shoes that they want, or the candy, or whatever they have their heart set on. So those are some of the principles that you can employ with your own children. There's penny stocks out there. You can teach them how to buy stocks for a penny, just to get them in the habit of investing, so that ultimately when they grow older, that habit will stick with them.
Right. Now, it's funny that you mentioned, you know, putting the children in your business. I've always done that. My first real business that was really up and going was my childcare business. And at 13 years old, the licensing department in the state allow children to be your assistants. So as soon as my children turned 13, that was that was their job. They yeah. cannot be left alone. Like, you couldn't leave the house, but, you know, they were able right. to really help you, like, serve the children and, you know, just clean them mm-hmm. up and that kind of thing, watch them outside, that kind of stuff. So my children, exactly. they knew, when you turn 13, you're here. So it worked
it
out
worked.
Perfect.
That's right.
And Robert
That's
right. said something about, let's see. Robert, what is that thing you're talking about? Each child selling something in the home, like toothpaste?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it started out on a bigger level, but then it was like, well, I'm going to put it to you like this. Like, in a congregation that you attend, you know, if everybody in that congregation had an item to sell to the next member of the congregation, that would teach them, you know, the art of selling and as well as break them into entrepreneurship. Same thing for in the house, you know. One way for the children at home to be able to earn their own money is by selling maybe one of the parents or somebody else T-shirts. You know, we start off with that whole idea of creating cash flow by, you know, giving them a product to sell or whatever, and just always yeah. reinforcing, hey, sell something to your sister, sell something to your brother, sell something to your father, rather than the traditional way, as you said, brother, that traditional thing of giving them an allowance. No, we have to stop that and promote entrepreneurship, by whatever means necessary.
Exactly, exactly. And I it's funny that you mentioned the church, because I have some ideas around the church as well for those older children, because one thing that I don't like, and one thing that the reason I accepted the position on the board of the Young Biz Kids, is because I see opportunities for children to be entrepreneurs. See, when they took the trades out of the schools and they gave them to the Vatterots of the world, the IT Techs and all of those different companies, now kids have to get loans to go to those schools and financial aid and all that stuff. Well, we have the ability in our churches to still teach trades to our children, because there are seniors in the church who have to have brake jobs done. There's mechanics in the church who know how to do brakes. Well, why aren't you taking on young apprentices to teach them how to do brakes when they're 15, 16, 17 years old? So now when it's time for them to go off to school, they're going off to school with a skill, and they can always make a little money on the side doing things that they know how to do. And it's just a ton of things that, like you said, Brother Robert, that kids can be doing and getting under their belts. I believe there's no reason that every child couldn't have mastered two or three skills by the time, or two or three trades by the time they graduate high school. And if they want to go to college, now they pay their way through because they have some skills versus having to borrow their way through.
And you know, brother, to piggyback on that, I've in the past have made posts saying that we have to hold our leaders and those people who are in the churches and mosques and synagogues and black leadership, we have to hold them accountable, you know, because those institutions, man, have a wealth of abilities in there, you know, like you say, a mechanic. Somebody got to fix the brakes. Somebody does hair. Somebody is selling something. There are so many talented people in these institutions that we frequent every week, and yet these institutions have not made it priority to set up something that train our young people, men and women, to look out for their future sake. And but yet we give them millions of dollars.
Yes,
millions,
you're absolutely
of
right.
Every year, and let them have a pass in reference to our well-being. They sell us, and all they simply tell us is, you know, pray to God. But at the same time, we're giving you all our money, and you're
exactly
walking away to a nice home, some with jet planes and Rolls Royces and this, that, and the other. And yet the people are steady suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's not right.
Yeah, someone has to hold those people accountable. And it's the people who are giving them their money. You know, so if you're not holding them accountable, you know, it's sad to say it, but where those accountability, if you're going to just continue to give me buckets of money and you're not going to ask me to do anything, then chances are I'm not.
Well,
and that's kind of
that's
the situation
true.
That we find ourselves in.
That's true. Now, I actually have a plan for that, and I think it's going to stop all the nonsense, personally. Because I know for myself, at 42 years old, you know, I can look back and I can honestly say, I have not read the word for myself. Therefore, I took the scripture, will a man rob God? And, you know, those scriptures that have totally been taken out of context, I've taken them to heart, and I've given up a whole lot of money. You know, I've since then learned that tithing was basically of food and that type of stuff. It was given to the poor and the widow and those type of people. It was not given to the church and the pastor for him to get a new elevator in the building and this type of thing. You know, and it makes you feel a little crazy because we're just always looking for someone to follow instead of getting the information ourselves, and that's in a lot of areas of life, and church is a big one. So
right.
With that being said, I can look back and I can reflect. One church I was given at least $860 a month to, you know, honestly. And
wow.
Well, that was 10%, so that's what I was doing. And I know that their mortgage was $10,000 a month, and there's no way they should have moved into that building, but, I mean, you just kind of go along. Now, for me, what I would like to do, and some people might think this is unorthodox, but what I would like to do is I would like to legally comprise some type of letter and ask for my money back from all these places.
Well, let's go to a commercial real quick. It's 8:02. We're going to go to a commercial and come back and continue this conversation.
We'll be right back. The Black Talk Media Project funds the use of new media technology in efforts to restore independent Black voices to the myriad of issues affecting Afro-descendant people all over the planet. If media can control the minds of the masses, as Malcolm X once said, then you must ask yourself, who is in control of the media targeting the masses of Black people today? Help bring back independence, self-determination, and respect for Black culture in the production of global media by joining the effort to crowdfund new Black media for the new millennium. Visit blacktalkmediaproject.org for more information on how you can invest in public Black radio for the masses.
Perfect. Everybody, you're listening to Blacks in Business Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We air every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, we are talking to Brother Cortez about several financial matters. And I was going on and on in my little tangent about giving up my hard-earned dollars to the church. And I said that I was going to legally come up with a document quoting correct scripture about tithing and offering, and ask and demand that I get my money back. Some people, again, may think that this is unorthodox, or, hey, you chose to do it. Yeah, I did choose to do it, but I chose to do it because I thought I was following leadership, but unfortunately leadership led me down the wrong path. And, you know, lots of money was lost. So I would like to get my money back, and I think I'm going to engage others in that same act and see what sort of results we get. Maybe it will at least stop them from this nonsense. Maybe it will open their eyes to what Scripture is really saying. Maybe it will hold them accountable for the millions and zillions of dollars that they have robbed the people from. They say, will a man rob God? Well, these men have robbed God's people, so something has to be done, and I would really like to do something about it.
Yeah, and the one thing that I don't like is a lot of these pastors and churches won't even bring in financial educators to help the people understand how to manage their money. So even if you are paying your tithes, and if that's what you believe in, will give me some guidance on how to better manage the 90 so I don't struggle.
Right.
You know, so that is kind of my deal, is that, you know, financial education. I listened to one pastor talk about the fact that there's a few hundred verses in the Bible on faith. There's a few hundred verses on the Bible on salvation. But there's over 2,000 scriptures or verses in the Bible on money and fiscal responsibility, and hardly any pastors are teaching that from the pulpit. So I just thought that was a little weird. It seems like that's a large portion of the book, and that's the part that most pastors are leaving out. Because I look at it like this. I am a Christian, so it took me all of 3 seconds to get saved, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now I have to live the rest of my life on this earth. So what can you do for me? I got heaven sewed up. Heaven is squared away. What can you do to help me live better here from the pulpit now that my salvation is squared away? And I think more pastors should bring a practical message on how to deal. Yes, you have to fight some spiritual battles, but also there is some practical battles that you have to fight too in this physical realm. While we're not to be of the world, we are still in the world, so therefore we need resources, we need management skills, we need certain things, and there's not a lot taught on those things coming from the pulpit.
I agree, and I would have to say also that a lot of the pastors themselves don't know how to manage their money, because if they did, they would then give back by way of education to their congregation.
Hey, may I share something? May I share something? I know it's not time for my interview, but before y'all segue from this, because I think it is very important. And Brother Elliot, who does the program Time for Awakening Radio, he always, I can't remember the exact scripture, but he said, "Our people perish for a lack of knowledge." And a lot of people have what they think is knowledge, but it's misinformation, and particularly pertaining to the issue of tithing in the Christian religion. Now, I don't know if Catholics tithe. I don't know all that. I came up in a Baptist, Methodist, whatever kind of denomination. But I had actually one time, Sister CC, you talked about writing a document to presenting them to get your money back. I had actually thought about writing a book about specifically on the issue of tithing. And in short, all one has to do is look, if you're a Christian, if you follow the Bible, I don't talk much about religious beliefs, but the Bible's more than just about religion. And you could just, it touches on many topics and issues. But Hebrews 7 talks about, how do you pronounce his name? Melchizedek, the priest.
Melchizedek,
yeah. So if you go to Hebrews 7, and I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to just share some key passages. But Melchizedek was a priest that Abraham was said to have paid a tenth to. And that's where that tithing come from, is because when they had animal sacrifice, that was a full-time job. You all day offering up animals, blood sacrifice for the sins of the people who's bringing you these sacrifices and whatnot. That's an all-day job. So that person got to be paid. So that's how you paid a tenth. The people gave a tenth so that it could support the priesthood in their family and what have you. So that's where that's why you're commanded to give a tenth to priests. Now, Jesus comes along, Yeshua, or whatever name you choose to use, the Christ comes along, and it says it says that, like, what's his name again? Melchizedek, but he was different. And I'm going to share these passages. It says that if perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still a need for another priest to come, one in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, this is key right here, pay attention to words, comprehend English. For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. See, when they tell people to pay tithes, they always cite a certain law from the Old Testament. I can't even remember it right now, but where they telling you got to give a tenth. Now, it says, for when the priesthood is changed, Jesus, with his ultimate sacrifice, the last blood sacrifice, according to those who practice Christianity and hold those beliefs, he was the last one. That's why certain Christians don't go to a priest and confess their sins. They confess in private in prayer, right? And so Jesus was that last blood sacrifice, according to those teachings. So it goes on to say, for when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also. So law and tithing has to be changed. And it goes on to say, I'm jumping down to verse 18, the former regulation, that's the law, again, regulation, law, is set aside because it was weak and useless, for the law made nothing perfect, and a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. So if the priesthood has been abolished by the sacrifice of Christ, then I don't need to pay a tenth to somebody to offer up prayers and forgiveness and ask for to forgive me for my sins and whatnot. That's what Catholics still do, but a lot of black folks, we ain't Catholics. But you still paying for a priesthood that was done away with when the person that you confessed the most was the last priest in the last blood sacrifice all in one. So who are you paying a tenth to?
Again, they don't read the word for themselves, and they're intertwining, like you said, the Catholic belief and whatever it is that they're doing today. And it's because you're not reading the word for yourself, and you're not aligning yourself with who you call God and the Most High to receive the proper information.
And I'll just close with this, CC. If you go to a church, you get something out of that church, whether it made your week better. It picked you up because you're constantly under oppression in this world. So, but if it made you feel good, even if it, you just enjoyed the singing and the fellowship, or if that ministry is doing, has a real ministry helping poor people, homeless people, that costs money. So they also have other costs for the building, electricity, and all of that that ain't free. And and prayers are not going to keep the electricity on. So it takes money. So you should contribute. How much you contribute, that's up to you.
Right. Absolutely. And that's, it's contribution. It's not, okay, well, let's do an auction. Because I've been in church where it's been an auction. You know, who got 50 over here? We need 50 more dollars. Who got 50 over here? That is not the way that it is supposed to be. So to sum it all up, you know, we have to get better about receiving information, okay? So in receiving information, it is not really hard because we're on social media every single day. We have people like Brother Cortez who is offering himself up to give you that information. So Brother Cortez, how is it that people can get a hold of you if they would like a consultation or to utilize your services in some way? Let them know all of the ways that they can get a hold of your information.
Sure. My financial success membership, you can learn more about that if you go to myfamilyempire.com. Again, that's www.myfamilyempire.com. Just put in your name and your best email address, and that will take you to a video presentation of all that we have to offer. You can also email me at hcortez, that's H-C-O-R-T-E-Z, at financialhealthmentor.com. And then I'm also a financial health mentor across all of the social media platforms, YouTube and Facebook. You can find me there. And then my phone number is 314-874-6887. So if you want to learn how to build wealth from scratch, you certainly can do that. And then for those who are in the St. Louis area, I am doing a wealth-building workshop next Tuesday, November 15th, at Covenant for Life Christian Center, and that's 7200 West Carson Avenue, 63136, 7 to 9 p.m.
Wow. Well, that's
Brother,
excellent.
Tell them what time. I see you every morning on the show. He has a entrepreneurial prayer service. That's what I'm going to call it. And it's not like what you used to going to church. We come as entrepreneurs, we need a word that's going to get us started for that day. And this brother comes on early in the morning with the gospel according to Cortez. So tell them what time they can get on and get that word, brother.
So friend request me at Cortez Springer. And usually it started as a 7 o'clock show. I've been lately getting on between 7 and 7:15. But we go for about an hour. And basically this week, the last 2 weeks, we've been on a series of how to make money online. But everything is success-oriented, entrepreneurship, business, wealth building. And that's what that show is all about. So you can subscribe to my YouTube channel, Financial Health Mentor, because I stream to YouTube and Facebook simultaneously. The Facebook fan page is Financial Health Mentor, and the YouTube channel is also Financial Health Mentor.
Okay. Well, Brother Cortez, I've got to say this to you. I just put out the friend request. But I see that you are a alumni of Soul Dance. So am I.
Wow, awesome. Well, I didn't get quite to become alumni because I was class of 92.
Me
so
too.
At sophomore year when they shut down, I was already living in Wellston, so I wasn't going to bus all the way to Roosevelt, so I finished up at Wellston.
Okay, well, I only went to Soul Dance for, let's see, it was like 1988-89, then after that I moved back to Alaska, but I did have the pleasure of having Miss Dorothy Walker as a teacher, and I was a cheerleader, so I got interact with Coach Niels, and I had Miss Dixon as a math teacher, and some white man named Mr. Schrader as a science teacher. So
yeah, Yeah.
So I probably know you, and you probably know me, but we don't look the same. So, yeah.
Okay. Cool beans. Well, guys, it has certainly been an honor, privilege, and a pleasure. But I would love to have you guys join me on a morning show. I literally go live, and I just speak from the heart on all things wealth building, success, and, you know, things of that nature. So I'm on episode tomorrow. I think will be episode 75 or something like that. So,
well, that's great. We would love to spiral you into your own radio program. Black Talk Radio Network would love to have you as a financial piece on the network. If you'd like to know how to do that, just inbox me, and I can definitely segue you over to the proper information. But we would love to have you on the network with your own show. But thank you so very much for talking to us. We so appreciate it, and we hope to connect with you here in the St. Louis area in the future. And we would like to do some affiliate marketing with you and send people over to you. When people listen to this program and they let you know that they heard from our program, let us know. Just reach out to us and let us know, because we like to keep track of those things. But we would like to wish you a wonderful night and much success, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Brother Cortez. Really appreciate you coming on, brother.
Okay. Oh, well, that was good. Good guess, Robert. My goodness. Wow. I didn't know of Brother Cortez until you told me about him today. Thank you for sharing that information with me. I appreciate it.
Oh, not a problem. I tell you, I browse through these Facebook business gurus, and, you know, if they don't catch my ear with substance, then, you know, I keep it moving. And like I said, when you can catch my ear then and make me want to come back and listen to you again, you're talking something. You got something going on. And that brother caught my ear, young brother, and caught my ear, and I was like, oh, yeah, he when he dropped Robert Kiyosaki and a couple of other books, I was like, oh, yeah, this guy, he's on it. So, I mean, I really, really am happy that he came on the show. I'm really glad that I, you know, discovered him on Facebook, and I actually tune in to him now for the last 3-4 mornings straight. You know,
wow.
And it's been a great start. Actually, there was something that he said this morning on the show in reference to, if you're not doing videos to market your business, then you're really way behind. And he made me go into my archives. I did a few videos, you know, for the laundry detergent, become a distributor, as well as promoting the laundry detergent down at the flea market here. And I pulled those back out, edited them, made them more up to date, and threw them back out there for sake of time, because I'm going to go and do some newer videos since we have much more product down there now. And so it's those type of people that's speaking truth in the real practical sense of getting money that inspire me, that make me want to be greater. And just listening to him, he challenges you. And it's a great challenge. You should want to be challenged to become better, you know. And a lot of people take challenge as something that they don't like. They reject challenge. But when I heard this brother this morning, I'm like, yeah, that's a reminder. I need to do that to make me better. And that's exactly what I did. Took that information, received the information, and immediately posted it, edited and reposted it, and sent it back out into Facebook world. And, you know, people all over the United States are, you know, sending me messages or whatever, liking the one that we did on becoming a distributor. So I really thank that brother. Thank God for that brother, me meeting that brother. Look forward to definitely having him mentor me. And you can't be too egotistical to where you won't allow someone younger to be a mentor figure in your life. That brother is very well educated in finance, in business, and I don't have a problem with him being on my team. I have an older mentor. If you talk like he talks, you are qualified to get with me.
Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and do this? We need to bring Scotty on, but it's so close to commercial time. I don't know, Scotty, how you want to do this. You want to go to commercial now, or if you want to wait. But I would like to, for you to be able to do this last half hour uninterrupted. Yes, we're going to take a break right now. This is BIB Radio on Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be back after these messages.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, everyone. Welcome back to Blacks in Business Radio, also known as BIB Radio. We're on the Black Talk Radio Network. Our next guest is actually the CEO of Black Talk Radio Network. I met him about 2 years ago when I was listening to his show, Black Talk Radio News, and I heard him going on and ranting and raving, talking about he needed some help. And I was like, I can help him. Dun, 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 dun. So I emailed him, and I was like, oh, I'm interested in being your assistant. You know, I was in Washington at the time, and he's in North Carolina. But I said, I can do this. Whatever it was that he needed, let me go ahead and make sure that, you know, I give him my help. So since then, we have been kindred spirits in this whole radio network thing. Since then, let's see, I've bought on a couple of people to the network and been back and forth with Scotty with information and just, I don't know, just having a good time in this ride. Some things have gone on with our people, but, you know, it's just been so wonderful to have Black Talk Radio Network here as a sounding board for the issues for our people. So right now, without further ado, let's introduce Mr. Scotty Reed.
Good evening, everyone. Listeners, Robert, Cece, good to be with you this evening.
Hello. Well, thank you for joining us, like on the other side of the microphone, I guess. So why don't you tell our listeners, for those that don't know you, some do listen all the time, they do know your story, but tell us your story of how you actually got started with this network.
Get started in internet or online digital radio or Black Talk Radio?
Well, the whole story of how you were on Blog Talk before.
Okay,
you know,
yeah.
That kind of thing.
Okay, so I was an employee like y'all been talking about so much tonight. I've always been a good employee, able to move my way up the ladder and get higher, you know, pay than other employees. In other words, I can, you know, I had the ability to accumulate more butter biscuits than other slaves on the plantation. So I always would bounce around from job to job because of situations that come up as a black man working in corporate world, whether that's involving how much they gonna pay me, things going on in the job, on the job involving racism, white supremacy. So I bounced around. So the last job that I was at, was construction. And I worked my way up in construction, never did construction before. I jumped down in it, into that ditch and got to working on them water pipes for this new development, and I was hired. I got it through a temp service. So I'm worked my way up to being on a machine operator in the bridge crew. It means more butter biscuits. So while I'm down there in Georgia working on a bridge, I got injured. I was actually partially paralyzed on my left side of my body. So they kind of put me out of commission for about a year. But during that year, I had discovered this platform called Blog Talk Radio. And I had already liked talk radio. That's how I found them. I Googled talk radio or looking for talk radio stations. That's how I came across that platform. Now, I had always liked talk radio, but it wasn't like a lot of what you might call conscious talk going on in terms of black media or black radio. I would have to listen to the white stations and whatnot. And then, like, if I call in to disagree with something or to present another view, they always cut you short. They always dismiss you, always mistreat you if they let you on, if they can detect that you're a black person. So when I came across Blog Talk Radio in 2007, I was like, wow, you mean I could have my own radio program? I need to do this because there isn't a lot of black talk radio out there. So I started a program called One Black Man's View. Mind you, I'm partially paralyzed going through the whole rehabilitation. And so I had a lot of time to spend online and work on my talk radio program. I studied the insides of the business. Well, how do you format a talk radio program? How do they do that? What's a wheel clock? A wheel clock is something how you take the hour and that, or how many, like you have a 1 hour program. Well, you break that up into little pies of time that you going to run this segment at that time, the station ID, blah, blah, blah. So I was all this time, I'm trying to emulate what I'm hearing on the radio in terms of format, production, and all of that. And I'm doing this over a telephone now. And so I was just really hooked on it. So then I was like, you know what? I'm just one black man. This is One Black Man's View. That's the name of my show. You still find it on Blog Talk Radio. But then I said, we need to be in this as a collective. I don't need to be competing or trying to compete because a lot of black people were starting to come. This is when Blog Talk Radio first launched. So I was like, I knew everybody else with different programs, and it seemed like everybody was trying to compete with each other, and because they had the rankings, and of course we had one of the top programs. So I was like, well, let's put together a program where we come on, and mind you, it was all free at that time. So, I said, you know what? Let us get one account called Black Talk Radio and all of us get on it. And we're going to do it like a radio station. You come on at this time. I come on at that time. We're going to run it just like a terrestrial radio station. It's not hard to figure out. You format a station. You program a station. So we did that. And then I started getting pushback from the racist white people on the network, the racist white people working for the network, and they was like offended at Black Talk Radio. They was coming at you with stupid stuff like, well, what about White Talk Radio? Would that be offensive to you? And I was like, well, that would be redundant to me because basically 99.9% of all talk radio is white. So if you call it White Talk Radio, you just being redundant. Move on.
Hello?
I'm sorry. I had a little distraction here in the studio.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. So I had to mute myself. But so anyway, they shut us down for like a week, 2 weeks. Said, we're going to shut you down for 2 weeks. This is, mind you, one of the top programs on their network, and it was starting to get popular. This is around sometime in 2008 after we had been on there a year. And so anyway, when he said that he was going to suspend me, and I was like, why? Well, he was like, the name Black Talk Radio and some of the guests you've had on. And then he said, I went to your website because I set up a Ning site. A bunch of people had Ning sites back then. It's like a social network. So we had created that, and it was called blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I had the colors red, black, and green at the time for the design of the site. You like mentioning the red, black, and green, like that represented a terrorist flag. That's how he was coming off to me. And mind you, they done suspended us for these stupid reasons for 2 weeks. So again, having a very popular program, bunch of our listeners had wrote them and complaining about taking us off the air. So what they did was, well, we just gonna cut it to 1 week. You could come back on air. So I was like, no, that's okay. What I'm going to do is look at the coding of your website, how you put this together, how you put this platform together, and I'm going to build my own. So I started researching the technology behind it. For those who know about the technical requirements for online digital radio, you know what Shoutcast is, you know what Icecast is. That's the backbone of Blog Talk Radio. That's the backbone of Black Talk Radio. That's the backbone of all digital radio. It's either Shoutcast or Icecast. So I then taught myself the technical stuff, the engineering, the audio engineering. And then it was really difficult. A lot of people were trying to build their own networks back then, but nobody could figure out how to mix the audio. That's the advantage Blog Talk Radio had. The owner of it, Alan, whatever his name is, he had a telecommunications call center, like software or something. He's a millionaire. So he had a lot of money to invest when he launched Blog Talk Radio. But he had that conferencing software, like what we're on tonight. He had conferencing software. He hooked a Shoutcast stream to it. Then he had coders write it so that people can schedule a program and all of that, and they program come on and call in to the conference line, and that was it. So I was like, I can piece that together. They got free conference call HD out there. I can have my own switchboard like that. But how do I mix the audio? If I play a clip, at that time some of the conference lines didn't allow you to upload audio clips, so how am I gonna mix this? Plus, I don't want it to sound like I'm on a conference line when I play my clips. I want it to be in stereo. I don't want it to sound like we're on a telephone or something like that. So then that is when, through my experience working with different communication equipment, even hard wiring stuff, I came up with a way to hardwire an external sound card to a computer and into the microphone, without getting too technical. So I came up with this way to do everything that I wanted to do, to be able to mix everything without any kind of special computer software or anything, just basic stuff patched together. So I actually copyrighted it. I wrote it as a technical manual. I had my little kit, because I got like a little kit that you can plug into a laptop, you can plug into a desktop. It got the little cable, so it's a kit. So all you do is follow the instructions. Now you can mix your own a radio station or a radio program if you're not running a station. And so I actually sell those kits. Mostly white people buy them from me. They see my YouTube videos and stuff introducing this product. But I did copyright it first. Then I also recorded the screen, because you do have to do some stuff on your computer, change the sound card settings and whatnot. I had gotten permission from Microsoft to use images of a Windows computer. I got permission from a couple of more companies to show their product, which I'm using to demonstrate, but I don't have to use their product. I can use somebody else. So they gave me permission. Okay, so then I could copyright my manual and my DVD. So I'm in a position right now that I could hire some attorneys to go after every single video on how to wire a system to do what I just described to you, how to engineer for an internet radio program, and not only that, but for video too, because it's got to have audio, how people can just play something on their computer and then that sound goes out and people are able to hear it, like the people listening to us tonight. And it's like so simple and problem free and what have you. And so I sell those kits, but I could have lawyers go after people who have videos, how-to videos, and not really go after them, but file a copyright dispute on there, and not going to penalize them, but any ads that are now being shown go to me. Because this is, even if it's not exactly like mine, if there is one or two steps that's similar, hey, I can claim you violate my motion picture DVD that I copyrighted showing people how to do this. Even Windows stuff, because remember, I got Windows permission to make my to include their images and what have you. So to wrap it up, I kept working at it. And I am where I am now with the Black Talk Radio Network in its present form. But I worked under a nonprofit. So when I get to the reason that y'all invited me, that email which I pulled up, which prompted y'all to show people just how much money you're looking at, not running really a platform to the extent that I'm running, but running your own platform. And how much money there is to be made running a station. And because radio stations make money, whether that's through advertisement or whether that's people paying to have a program on that radio station. It works the same for digital radio. So there's a number of ways you can make money, either with a radio program or being a station owner. So we want to focus on ownership tonight, even though technically people who have a program, they own that program, and because that's media that they produce, that's their intellectual property. So I'm gonna stop there and open it up for questions.
Okay, so now if I'm just a novice person and I hear you talking about owning my own radio station, although you just told us this information, I'm feeling overwhelmed. Like, how would I own my own station? Because I'm looking at it from, like, a radio station point of view. You know, and even if I look at the people on Facebook, you know, you see people on Facebook and they're doing Facebook Live or Periscope Live, and you see a bunch of microphones and people with headsets and things like that, and I instantly may feel intimidated thinking, how in the world am I going to have my own radio station? How much does all this equipment cost? And then if I'm a person that's not really a person that's really going to go out there and look for what I need to look for, I just may just shut down. Although it may be something I want to do, I would shut down. So can you speak to the complexity of it all?
Well, again, because of the techniques, the audio engineering techniques I developed to show a person how to hardwire a computer, it is easy. It's pretty easy. It's easy to me, but it's not going to be easy. We have some people who just don't catch on to stuff, and they're not technically inclined, and they don't like these things, and therefore it disinterests them, so they're not going to learn. They're going to be intimidated from the jump, so they're not even going to try to learn. So, but if you can get over the fear of trying to learn, I have spent 8 years of trial and error in improving what the way that I do things that I'm still learning. So I got 8 years in. So why should you be intimidated? I done most of the heavy lifting and all the plowing through the trial and errors already for you. I have, as a nonprofit, I've posted how-to videos that I ain't charging nobody to watch. Well, we launched a knowledge base, even though I can improve that and put some more videos up there. The basic knowledge is there. There's knowledge there on knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com that people are paying me for that don't know it's on that website, because they see my YouTube video and they trying to run their own station, or they're on like Spreaker.com, which is a competitor to Blog Talk Radio, where it just allow people to set up their own station on there or program. They really have a station. Well, it depends on what package you get. But they don't have the call-in feature. So they're not like Blog Talk Radio, where Blog Talk Radio has married the digital radio streaming technology with a conferencing system. Spreaker has not done that. And they could do it. They got a lot of money, a lot of clients. They could do it. I don't know why they have not. So a lot of their clients look for an alternative way. How can I sound like I'm in a studio that costs tens of thousands of dollars, like I'm in a terrestrial radio station? So they find my manuals. They find other people who are trying to do this. And so that is a client base right there.
Okay.
So it's not hard, is what I'm saying. I put out a lot of tutorials and information. It is not that hard. It's just you have to pay attention to what you're doing. But once you get it set up, once you get a computer, let's just say your studio set up, and we can get to how much does it cost to set up a studio. Because like you said, how can I have my own radio station? If a person go Google that, let's use Google. That's our friend. How much does it cost to start a radio station? Now, I didn't say digital station or terrestrial station, but it's mostly going to come up. This is what they say. The FCC requires every station to have this, and it costs around $3,000 for a fully compliant EAS. It is hard to find a used see, they're talking about technical equipment for a terrestrial radio station. So, I mean, you have to pay a lot of money to get an engineer to write up the plans for a terrestrial radio and what have you. So it's going to cost you. Let's say I'm going to go out there and buy a radio station. Okay, maybe I should put in here, how much does it cost to buy a terrestrial radio station? Because that's what most people think when you say radio station. They think about a building with an antenna. Okay. So how much does it cost to start a radio channel acquiring a frequency? So they're talking about FM, AM. So that's terrestrial. That's the difference when we using these labels. What's the difference between terrestrial radio or digital radio? Well, terrestrial is where you got a physical antenna that has a signal that goes out as far as your power source will allow it to go out. And then you have to get licensed for that. The government controls that, FCC, and all of that. So I'm seeing figures that's going up. This dude, they're not even talking about buying a station, but to start one, they're talking about licensing costs could start as low as $1,000 to $100,000. Again, depending on localities and scale. So that's how we're talking a lot of money. Do y'all got that kind of money to start up?
Mm-mm. No.
That's not
and
even
I don't think that we could do even a GoFundMe, because GoFundMe don't give money to black people. So
that $100,000 ain't even including if you rent a commercial space for your radio station. So we're talking about something that's out of reach for most black people. Now, how much does it cost to start a digital radio station? Well, I could set up a digital radio station for you for less than, let's see, I'm looking at my equipment and I'm going to moderately price some of it. Let me see, I got a mixer here, a 4-channel mixer here. It costs $60. I got assorted cables and adapters that probably cost me total about $20. Okay, I got some external speakers here. They may have cost about $20. I got a computer right here that was made for gaming, and that's kind of important. When I say gaming, I'm talking about video gaming. When people playing Xbox and stuff, well, you could do that on computers too. You can load that software on a computer, but you gotta have a fast processor and what have you. So this one was pretty fast when I bought it, but now you can get it upgraded for not much more money. That's a great thing about technology. The price tends to go down. It doesn't go up. When people, what keeps the price high is people got to have the brand new stuff that just came out. You know, the next iPhone, all of that. So then the stuff that came out the year before, 2 years before, is cheaper. The same thing with computers. So I got a gaming video here that a computer made specifically for gaming. It's running Windows 7 on it. And it costs about $500. Then I have a modest monitor, and that cost about $100. So what are we talking about? What are we up to now? We're less than $1,000, aren't we? Less than $900, less than $800.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's how much it costs to start a digital radio station. Now that doesn't include your internet access connection, whatever you're paying. You don't want to have the lowest. You want to have the highest, because you're going to be sending out a lot of data when you're streaming live. That is. Mm-hmm. So if you got to line up a live programs like we do on Wednesday nights on this station, that's 8 hours. That's 8 hours, especially if you are engineering all the programs for your clients. Okay. So, it does not cost a whole lot of money. Just a typical. Now, the brother that you had on, Mr. Cortez, what's his name again?
That's his name, Cortez Springer.
He is the second person to come on Blacks in Business Radio and told people about the tax advantages of being up having an online business. They specifically both mention online businesses. Where is Black Talk Radio Network?
Online.
He mentioned that he posted a blog post earlier. Now we're going to expand it from just radio. We're going to expand it to just media, because media comes in many forms. So I'm hearing a lot of background noise. I'm sorry. He mentioned that he was going to post a blog post, right? How many people have their own blogs, whether they paying for it or not, whether it's a WordPress blog, whether it's one from a Blogspot that's free? But there are a lot of people with blogs that post their daily thoughts or whatnot. Guess what that is? That's a business. If you got a blog that's telling people about, just say, cooking tips, this is my grandmother recipe or whatnot, or you posting videos of your little cooking show on YouTube, that's a business. Here's the problem with most people that I see utilizing the technology. They on Facebook Live. How do you monetize Facebook Live? You can't monetize it. They may roll that out later. You can on YouTube. You can on YouTube. But most of those people, though, they are just doing it as individuals and not businesses, because you can get a YouTube account, a Google AdSense account as an individual, long as you have a bank account. But they are not running it like a media business. Therefore, they are not taking advantage of the write-offs and whatnot. They're just looking at the little piece of change that they're going to get from YouTube if their stuff is popular. Some of those videos like go viral overnight, they provide a nice little piece of change. If you got 1 billion views, I'm sure that's about $1 million. You know, after Google give you your little cut and what have you. So, but that's still, those people could register wherever they are in their state, in their city, a media business, and then take advantage of the write-offs, as well as the little piece of change that you generating with your popular YouTube channel. But put that YouTube channel on your own blog with your own domain name, your own platform. It don't matter if you built it yourself, or somebody else built it and hosted. Those are business expenses. You don't want it, then you'll be like me with too much to do and not enough help. And hopefully, you know, we will be able to hire people. Don't nobody want to work for free, you know, and I can feel them on that. I do a lot of stuff for free, but that's because that's part of the struggle. But if we're talking about business, see, that's why I set up a nonprofit. That's my contribution to the struggle. But I am about to launch a for-profit business that's not global like Black Talk Radio Network. but it's regional. What if I just call it Gaston County Talks and start a network for Gaston County? 80% of these people are white. So what? They money green.
Right.
They can come on here and start their own network. They could come up to my little trailer, my media center I didn't set up, and do their radio show on the station I set up called Gaston Talks. How much it costs to be on Gaston Talk? Well, since I'm just setting up, I'm going to find a couple of my buddies that just won't be on the radio. Now, I'm going to help them be professional and whatnot and run everything, but they're going to have a program. Well, maybe they want to go in with me and be business partners. And so maybe we want to offer certain people, you know, a free time hour. Hey, we're a for-profit business. We could write that off as a contribution. Maybe we'll give it to a nonprofit, the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, whatever entity, the Lions Club, and they could have a program. The high school have a partner. This will be a donation. Then that way you have content on your station. Now other people, as your station becomes known and it becomes popular, or when I say popular, that's relative. I don't need to make it popular in the world or even the United States. I need to make it a popular platform in Gaston County, North Carolina. You see, so then when it's popular like that, we got content, then other people want to be on the radio, and they will pay to be on the radio. Maybe I'm charging based on my audience. Well, let's say I have an audience here in Gaston County. Let's say I have an audience of 2,000 people that's tuning in regularly. Okay, $10 an hour, you can reach up to 2,000 people. And we'll post your podcast. You'll get your download statistics. This is how many people you're reaching. So again, you're doing it just like a radio station. You're selling slots, time blocks. Okay. Then if it's localized, I'll become the number one station in Gaston County with my redneck radio. Okay. Whatever name I come up with it. Okay, don't matter. Hey, a black man own it, I'll go hire some white person to be the white face, and they think they spending money with a white person. Okay, let's think strategically in business as well. So then it becomes a popular site. Now I can sell advertisement, banner ads, and whatnot that's on the site. In addition to my Google ads, now I could go to the local bar or whatever and sell either radio advertisement, audio ads, or sell them banner space. Okay. And so that is the business in a nutshell. And I could run that from my garage. I could run that from a room in my house. I could run that from a commercial space. It's all a write off. Now ask me, how much does it cost to get started with a radio service? Cause most people are not going to learn computer code. They're not going to learn how to upload software to a server. They're not going to be involved in all the stuff behind the scenes to make sure a website is up and running. Okay, so how much do it cost? But they will learn how to manage a radio stream that they could log on to online to do live stuff or upload their commercials, upload whatever content they want on their station. So if you go to blacktalkmediaproject.org, let me go there right quick and tell you how much it will cost you to get a single digital radio stream for Redneck Radio here in Gaston County. All right, so y'all give me just a moment as our website is loading up. I'm going to go to digital radio hosting services that our nonprofit provides. And it starts off, the first one is Live 200. That means up to 200. And again, why would you go out there and get the biggest package and you just starting a radio station? You got to build your audience. So never buy more than you need. So you know that you just starting. So I'll have seating for 200 live listeners as opposed to jumping up to the biggest package of 1,000 or more. You know, after it gets above that, then, you know, the way Black Talk Media Project does, we then start negotiating with you on a bigger package, a customized package for you. But again, we just talking about starting out. So I'm just starting out small. I'm going to start off with live DJ. That is, I could either pay $60 a year or I could pay on a month-to-month $10 a month. I'm going to get a Shoutcast V1 stream, and I do need to update this site because now we offer version 2 and we offer Icecast. This one has up to 64 kilobytes audio quality, 200 simultaneous listeners, unlimited bandwidth, detailed statistical reporting, blah, 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 blah. You can read the rest. Okay. And so then the most largest package that I offer above customized packages that we offer is $288 a year or $48 month to month. And that's over 1,000 listeners, and of course you get more for your file storage and all the other services that come with that. But that's the basics right there. So does that sound like a huge investment?
No, it does not sound like a huge investment at all. It sounds like something very doable, especially when we're talking about these economic times when we need to be considering that it's time to move forward with entrepreneurialism more than ever before. So, Scotty, if people want to get a hold of you, how would they do that? Because you offer more than just the radio. You also do websites and things like that. So if they want to find out all what you do and how you can help them in their business and entrepreneurial endeavors, how would they get a hold of you?
They can go to the website, blacktalkmediaproject.org. We have a contact page there. You could push that. It will pull up a form where it'll come to me by email. You can go to the About section if you want a mailing address and write me a letter, and I'll respond. But, yeah, those are the ways. And the other way is you can text us or call us at 704-817-2161. That's 704-817-2161. And here is the thing, though. What I'm talking about tonight is something that I have done. It's not something I'm thinking about doing. It's not something I heard somebody else talk about. So I can confidently tell you I did this from scratch and built it up. So I already got right. The blueprint for you. If you want to launch a digital radio station. Now, look, you can take it serious and just take it as a write-off. The clients I have that pay for their services, they're paying for a block of time, they can write that off as a business, but first they got to be a business. You see what I'm saying? Because there's a lot of businesses that have radio programs as outreach. There are major corporations that's using this technology and what have you. So, but again, if you just want it for the tax write-off, well, you can set up an online digital radio platform, a website, blog, whatever you want to call it. Put your player up there. You can actually pay if you just want to play a music. You can actually pay to get licensed to play the copyrighted music and what have you, and don't even do talk radio or anything. Guess what? That's a business. It's a radio station. And they'll get your write-off. You ain't paying but, what, $60 a year? Okay? So, or if you want to turn it into a real radio station where you are serving people with information that they can use, I've sent y'all the email. Let me just break down how, let's just say no advertisement, no banner ads, just selling time on the station. So the radio station works off of a weekly calendar that's broken down into days and hours. So there are 8,760 hours in a calendar year. Now, let's say we built up our brand. I've heard brand mentioned. We built up our brand and the popularity of our website, and we are able to charge $25 per hour for somebody to be on our station. That comes to a yearly total of $219,000. Now, of course, you will subtract your business costs like platform hosting, digital radio stream, office space for studio or workout your home. Your electricity employees, if you grow so popular, you will need some employees if you're running it like a station and so on. The normal costs associated with business, including the tax write-off. So let's say we, after our taxes, they're going to take out 50% in taxes. That's a high figure probably for a business owner, but let's just say 50%. We're still taking home $100,000 in profit. And what did we sell? What did we sell? After our investment in our physical equipment, our location, and all that, what did we sell? We sold time. Time is infinite.
Wow. Well, that is definitely worth more than just looking into. That's worth going ahead and doing it. I mean, what caught my ear? I mean, of course, I know you know this information that you're telling me. But the part where you talked about just being able to play music, I mean, my goodness, what if you played music and then also have some commercials running through the music, like, you know, in between every 30 minutes or whatever? That's good money.
Again, if you build up the popularity, so I don't want people to think that you just gonna throw up your website, get your radio stream, get everything set up, and overnight. No, it took 8 years for Black Talk Radio Network to get to its global ranking that it is. And I'm proud to say that we're in the top 800,000, might be going higher. And as one of my clients said to me, man, Black Talk Radio finna blow up with Donald Trump being elected president. It's a lot of traumatized black people out there. They gonna be looking for some media to help them understand what's going on. And he's correct. He's correct in looking at it like that. So, but when I first launched my website, and again, I did not know then everything I know now. The people that partner with me through our services for their for-profit business will have that blueprint. I'm basically gave you an outline for it now. But when we first started, how many websites are in the world? Can somebody tell me 100 million, 90 million? 10 million?
I have no idea.
Good question.
I don't think anybody truly knows. There are probably a billion because the internet is global. Mm-hmm. Anybody with access to the internet can create a website. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at, so for us to now Black Talk Radio brand to be in the top 800,000, I would say that's a tremendous, that increases the value of, let's call it, our property, our internet property.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you want to base it on. But if you, again, don't try to duplicate. Look, I'm not going to tell anyone not to dream big, but I'm trying to give people a realistic path to the quickest way to make money. And that is not to create a station and a platform targeting the world. It is to create a station and a platform targeting where you live. Because now all the contacts you have, all the business people you know, now those are potential clients, whether they are want a radio program or they want to advertise on the station. Now, or they want a banner on your website. So then I don't have to worry about being the number one platform in the world for Black Talk Radio or Rednet Talk Radio. Now I gotta be I'm aiming to be the number one in my county, or if I lived in Charlotte, I live outside of Charlotte. But if I lived in Charlotte, I want to be the number one black station in Charlotte. Or I want to be the number one redneck station in Gastonia, North Carolina. You see, now my competition is the terrestrial radio station who has a much higher overhead than I do. But when people go to tune in to get all these different stations or whatnot, are they sitting there listening, thinking about what the room looked like that you sit, that, you know what I'm saying, that all this is being broadcast from? No. Mm-hmm. They looking at logos. They looking at a brand. They're listening. So I hope that I people were able to follow me. Again, you have my contact information, and I'm actually going to start doing webinars on this and monetize the knowledge that I have acquired. But y'all know me, when it comes to my people, I don't actually charge people the market rate, because there are white radio stations that I get just as much traffic, or my global rankings are just as high as theirs, and they're charging people $100 a month for a 1 hour program once a week. That's 4 hours, $100, $25 an hour. There you go, right there. That's what it break down to. But 12 months. Then you had to sign a contract up front and pay up front. So you got a year long contract, maybe 6 months, but you got to pay for that up front. That's how it work in the radio industry. So me trying to break into that industry, I offer month to month. So you see what I'm saying? You don't jump out there trying to charge as much as what everybody else. You got to add value to you, build up your brand. And as your property increases, which is your radio traffic, because you get the thing between us and terrestrial radio, they got to depend on a third party to get their information, and that costs money. Digital radio, you get a downloadable report of your statistics every month. You know when your peak hours are. Everything a terrestrial radio station looks at and needs, you get that all from digital radio. So I hope people understand the opportunity out there. It don't take a whole lot of investment. The most thing that you're going to invest that's valuable is your time in learning the technology. Again, it is not that hard.
Wow. Well, you have definitely said a mouthful to us, and because you own the station, we definitely have gone over, but that's okay. And
I think
even
you have
the
a call
about blogging, you know, people are going on Facebook Live and Periscope and doing all these things that they could be making money from, because ultimately they are doing business, whether they know it or not. Even if they're talking about whatever you may consider the most menial thing, they're going on there and people are viewing them, so they should definitely be turning that into a business and just growing their business.
And check this out. Facebook
purposes and everything, huh?
Facebook, okay, utilize the resources that are free out there. YouTube, we now stream live on YouTube. People to listening to us now on YouTube. We could add video if we wanted to. But we're not doing that right now, but the capability is there. But even if they're on Facebook Live, still, I'm registered in Gaston County. I'm speaking as a for-profit. I'm going to create this for-profit. Last time I registered doing business as in this county, it cost me $8, because I don't live in the city limits or anything. I live in a rural area, so I only got to deal with the county in terms of regulations and taxes and fees. So it cost me $8. It probably is a little bit more now. So let's just say $20. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I do that, then I set up my own platform. Just my blog, I can get that for around $50 a month through Black Talk Media Project, or I can set up a free blog. It don't matter. Get my own domain. I'm a media company. Now I'm going to stream all my stuff. I got my Facebook page. I'm using their technology and whatnot. Then I'm taking those videos and embedding it on my own platform and whatnot. Then I got my Facebook store, but I got my own store on my own platform where I'm selling my brand, whether that's t-shirts, my face, whatever. They still running a business, even though their business is primarily based on Facebook. They
Absolutely.
Could do that and take advantage. And where are they streaming from on Facebook? They're streaming from their home, right? Hey, that's tax write-off. My room is a studio.
Right. You know, and I learned how to take the Facebook video and put it on the YouTube, which, you know, I am not technologically inclined. So when I figured that out, I actually went to YouTube to figure out how to do that. But, you know, if you just sit down and give yourself a little bit of time and stop being anxious, you can figure these things out. I mean, just figure it out, and you can make money monetizing you yourself as your brand or your business. You definitely need to take advantage of these things because everybody's doing something on social media. If you're on social media and you're not making money from social media, you know, you need to cut it out.
That's one thing. When people say that black people don't manufacture nothing or produce nothing, they're talking about things like sneakers, clothes. Most of that is in China, Vietnam, where they're exploiting cheap labor over there. Okay?
Right.
So even if we wanted to make something like that, you know, it's going to be hard to compete with those other factories overseas. But we are producing something. Guess what we're producing every day? Most people that's connected on social media or on the internet, you're producing media every day. You're creating media every day. This program, Blacks in Business Radio, is a production. You produce something that somebody else is going to come along and consume it, whether they're consuming it live or as a podcast. And so what we've been doing is we've been creating a lot of free content for other people, and we're not leveraging it for us. It's okay to partner with those other platforms, but if we're not making no money and leveraging it and paying the cost that it take for us to be to do, I mean, it costs you something for your phone that you using to do on Facebook, and you probably got the latest iPhone because you want your video to be clear. What that costs you something. You could write that off if you had a media business, couldn't you?
Right, right. Now, do you know, can you talk to us about affiliate marketing? Are you doing any of that?
I'm doing that with my clients right now. So, like, I have clients that pay to have their programs. So in order for me to increase my client base, and I'm selective, that's the unique thing about Black Talk Radio, is I'm selective because this is a nonprofit with a specific mission. So I have kicked people off the station or not allowed people on the station because I thought that their content was not conducive to the programming we're trying to provide, that they wanted to be the next Steve Harvey or something like that. Or they are stuck in a rhetoric that I find to be harmful, so I don't want it on my station. So I turn away money. That's turning away money, all right? So, but if I was a for-profit, yeah, man, come coon all day you want, as long as you pay, okay? As long as you pay. But that's not my business. But there's a lot of money in cooning. So if you're going to be at least get a tax write-off. If you cooning on the internet, at least get a tax write-off for being a coon on YouTube or Facebook, making these videos and stuff. That's all. So, but it's just so much potential in digital radio, because now you got cars that have been for at least 5, maybe 10 years coming off with what? Connected to what? That's the question. What are cars coming off the assembly line connected to?
What are cars connected?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Aren't they?
The internet.
So, can they listen to your station on the internet? Do people listen to Black Talk Radio in their cars?
Yes, they do.
Yep.
Yes, they do. I know I do.
So who has the advantage in your town? In St. Louis, think about whatever the black radio station is there, or any kind of radio. Again, your business ain't got to focus on black folks, because white people money green too. All right, so you set up several stations. Again, look at the low cost it take. You know, so in St. Louis, you know, that you think about who your competition is. Don't you think your cost, you have an advantage over the local terrestrial radio station in terms of their overhead versus yours? They got to jump on you now in terms of traffic, but over a year's time, you could have half of St. Louis knowing about your platform and radio station, couldn't you?
Oh, absolutely. And those stations that we're talking about are super coonery and buffoonery. You know, there's a lot of stuff on there that is not satisfying to certain people. So that would be one advantage, absolutely.
You know, I really I'm sitting over here thinking about exactly what Scotty is saying, and my mind has already come up with a bigger BIB radio station that actually plays music that inspires entrepreneurship, that type of music, and then our commercial breaks will be some form of knowledge, entrepreneurial knowledge, you know, or news encompassed all into our, this is a different format of a radio station, but it is definitely for the entrepreneurial listener that loves to play that music that inspires him or her, that motivates thinking, you know. And I'm just sitting here listening to you, Scotty, and I say, man, that's a bigger picture, you know. You have the opportunity to be able to express your thoughts, your ideas, what you want, customize your radio station to be what it is that you want, and who knows where that'll take you, minus the buffoonery and all the crazy stuff, you know?
Right, right. And so, again, if you just wanted to run just music, like you just said, or every once in a while you're posting upcoming BIB events that's happening around St. Louis, you don't have to be doing talk radio every day. You don't even have to look at it as trying to sell time on the station for other people to come to your studio. You don't have to set up a studio, because you can run an online radio station with no equipment. All you got to do is upload your files to the cloud, as I like to say. All our servers are online based, so you could just run music, but you want to pay your royalty fees, or if you find a music that's not copyrighted, or you get permission from people. And so, again, it's a write-off. If it gets popular, or people who just want to listen to that, that's great. Now you can sell advertising, because as y'all know, advertisement is based on numbers. This is why I don't understand why people will pay $200 a month to have somebody read their ad or run an ad on their station, but that station can't show you any numbers. Well, how many people, you know it's only 5 people tune in, but you didn't pay them $200.
That's not very productive.
No, it's not, but it's because people don't know how to run the industry. Most, you know, they it comes down to that. So when in terms of radio advertisement, again, people set their own prices based on the popularity of their station. But you sell it like it's called ad buys and what have you. You selling blocks of time again. So a 30-second ad, I want to run it. I want to reach 5,000 people. Okay, most people in this industry might be charging $10 per 1,000 listens. Maybe $20 if they real popular. Who knows how much it costs? You know what I'm saying? But you have a minimum ad buy. So you just can't pay me $10 and then 1,000 people. No, you got to buy it in a block, like $50 and 5,000. Okay? But I'm going to show you the stats. You know what I'm saying? So that's how you make your money in advertisement. So I'm giving a hint out there to those who spend money on advertisement. Don't be just because somebody got a name and a website looks slick and you have this perception about them. That don't mean a lot of people tuning in. If they don't want to show you their stats, that mean that's a big red flag.
That is a big red flag. And I do pride myself on, you know, the report that you give us every month, because then when I have to provide it, it's there. You know, Robert asks me all the time, well, where's the report? And I'm like, it's in the email. But he doesn't necessarily always get the email. But, you know, and every time we look at the report, things are growing. And, you know, we can definitely follow your lead in getting our radio network going, you know. And for those people out there that are interested, please feel free to contact Scotty so that he can guide you, whatever it is that you want to do. If you have more questions, he is ready and willing to help you do that, because, again, like he said, you know, he's more than willing to help our people get what they need to become successful.
Let me compare some of those stats. And I do think y'all have a caller on the board, and I'll give them an opportunity. Oh. But let me just talk about those stats I sent out. So last month, we did 120,000 unique listens as a station. Okay, 120,000 people. As of 2013, according to Google, St. Louis had a population of 318,416. So I would actually have about a third of that market share if I was just a St. Louis station focusing only on all my marketing efforts and outreach and all of that to St. Louis. So that's a third of the market. Do you think that would be popular? I mean, do you think that would be a valuable property to have a third of the radio market in St. Louis? So let's see if this person had a question. They may be just hanging on. Area code 973, did you have a question or comment? Okay, I guess they did not.
Excuse me. I'm just learning how to use this new system. I'm just listening. So should I just call the old number, or should I mute my line?
They
think I might have a question, but I don't. I'm just listening. So should I just call the old number, Mr. Reed?
No, you can stay on this line. And we'll just mute you, and you can mute and unmute yourself, and we're still learning it too as I get ready to incorporate it into our platform, so it'll be more branded for us. But I do leave that old line open because other people had that old line, but you can still hang out here and what have you, and you can unmute yourself by just hitting star. It will mute you when you come in. If you have a question or comment, you can hit star. So you're fine. All right. So, yeah, we are way over time. I didn't mean to keep you guys, but when you start asking me about this kind of stuff, I got a lot to tell.
No. It's okay, because I actually did have a lot of questions. And, you know, I like to ask questions for myself, because if I'm asking those questions, I'm sure other people are thinking the same thing. And it's not a problem. We love to get the information, because it's not – all the time that we get to pull you out of where you are to really get what we need, you know, concerning what you do and what you can offer. So, I mean, this is the perfect platform, Blacks in Business Radio. You know, you're helping our listeners and us think about new business. I mean, so, you know, we definitely don't mind spending an extra half hour with you to learn what we need to learn. So we'll definitely have to have you back again. And congratulations on the new platform. I'm still learning it myself. I think I'm good now. I'll tell you what I did later.
Oh,
but
you're
I'm good
talking
now,
about
so
BTRCommunity.com?
Huh?
You're talking about BTRCommunity.com?
No, not that. I'm talking about this.
So this is a business expense that was warranted. We was kind of forced into it because of some of the telecom companies trying to recoup some of the fees that they pay. I know now know how the free conference call makes money. They make money by charging big cellular companies like $8 for every time somebody calls into a conference line. Okay, so they set up their own conference lines and what have you, because there's different companies. The communication system in the United States is a patchwork of companies, and sometimes they had to utilize each other's lines. And so these smaller companies was like, okay, we're gonna charge these big companies every time one of their users connects to our network. We don't get a whole lot of them, so we're gonna charge them $8 for every one. So then they figure, hey, if we set up a free conference call that's based on our network, then we can make all these fees off of their carriers every time they call in. So that's what's going on. I don't blame the cell companies now that I know more for trying to recoup some of those fees from a business perspective. They're losing a lot of money from people calling into the free conference line. So our listeners were reporting that they were being charged 1 cent a minute. But then trying to step up our brand and our game and our professionalism, I got tired of giving out the conference line number, then the participant code, and then *6 and 1. And right. You know, it's time. We've used this free conference call for a long time, and it served its purpose. You know, but now we have a little bit more resources. We have a few more donors than we had. So now we could justify the business expense of paying for a service where our listeners don't have to go through all that, and provide them with a 7-digit toll-free number as well as international numbers. Now, because of my web development skill, I'm going to swallow this up and incorporate it into Black Talk Radio Network. And there's some little tricks of the trade. So although I'm paying for this service and people are going to uberconference.com, I'm going to make it so that they could use the service on Black Talk Radio Network. But I wanted to step up our brand to set us apart from other stations out there where, you know, we know that everybody using free, it's nothing wrong with using free conference call, but it sounds a little bit more professional when you could give out a toll-free number and one number that people can connect. Brother Dave, who has been using the board, he likes it better than the other conference call. We could chat with each other and back and forth for the production and stuff like that, and it offers the host the opportunity to interact more with the listener, and it's very inexpensive. So again, if you were going to set up a radio station, you would want to learn how to incorporate this other service, or you could, if you had the resources and money to invest, set up your own server, install the conference system software on there. It's still not going to be free. You're going to have some fees and whatnot, but it's going to be cheaper. But then you got to maintain that. Stuff can go wrong. Do you have a technical team when it's down to somebody figure out when it's work? So that's why sometimes you justify paying somebody else. And so I like their product, uberconference.com. I'm going to incorporate it into our brand. But this is all Blog Talk Radio is. It is conference systems match with a radio stream on a platform, a content management platform, and you have a radio platform and station. It is that easy.
Is there a cap on the Uber conference? How many people can be in the line or what?
Up to 100. But I imagine if you need it more than that, you can contract with them behind the scenes and get more room. But then again, you could do like me and have the free conference going at the same time. That's the beautiful thing about this manual that I copyrighted and wrote, because it just mixes audio on your computer. If you can hear it, they can hear it. So I can patch in different conference systems, and it passes the audio off from one to the other. It's magic.
Well, thank you for introducing us to the magic. We appreciate it. But what we're going to do now is end, because we have to go to bed. I'm sure you do, too, because you're an hour ahead of us. But, Robert, did you have any last words for Scotty?
Yeah, Scotty, we're going to be reaching out to you this week. We got to get some web pages set up, and definitely go a little bit further into this radio station thing. My main concern, I don't want to leave the network per se. You know, I'm sure this will be...
Listen, you don't have to leave the network. You don't have to leave the network. I'm going to give you an example in one of our clients, and if you want to go talk to him. He's been with us 2 years. Every Sunday, Time for Awakening Radio comes on the Black Talk Radio Network. Guess where else it comes on? It comes on timeforawakening.com. Because and a website hosting, the customization of their content management system, which is WordPress. Most millions of people use it, top used content management system. So he gets that service from us, then he gets his radio station stream. So when he's streaming on his radio station, his program that come on Sunday, guess what? I'm picking that up, because what? I can grab audio from anywhere. And so he simulcast his program on Black Talk Radio. Guess what? Another client we have. We have Tanya Freedy and Friends, which broadcasts from radio, terrestrial radio studios in Richmond, Virginia on WCLM. But guess what? They also have their digital radio stream for their digital station through who? Black Talk Media Project. Guess what? I can grab that audio and put it on and simulcast it on my network. This is what they call syndication. So they're syndicated. So you, if you still want to be part of the Black Talk Radio Network every Thursday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, y'all certainly can do that if you want to lead a spot. Because you're working on your own, I certainly understand. We'll open that slot up, and the next person can move in. Right now, we charge $15 an hour for the first 4 hours. It's a monthly, month-to-month contract, $15 an hour. After the first 4 hours, we're running a promo to where the additional hours after the four are $10 an hour. Okay? So yeah. We'll
still
open that
slot.
Still
very affordable.
Yeah, still very affordable. The reason I can be affordable is because I'm not running this as a for-profit business. When I launch Gaston Talks or Redneck Radio, Gaston County, you better believe I'm going to charge them market rates. But this is a nonprofit that was created to help black people get into this medium. Okay, so we right. also are a registered nonprofit. We can take donations. So the donors are helping to keep the cost low for other black people.
All right. I sure appreciate all that you do, Scotty. I mean, wow, that's a lot that you got going on, and it's a very, 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 very good thing for us as entrepreneurs and those who are ready to take leaps and bounds into going deeper into this world of entrepreneurship. And, you know, it's funny, it seems like I'm taking myself further and further into the radio world, but the path that we're taking, you know, is opposite from the path that I dreaded, which was, you know, I heard so much talk about the problem, but not enough talk about the solution. And now that BIB is on the radio, I feel very proud to know that we offer our people solutions and ways to actually do something for themselves. And now I'm ready to go a step further into this thing. So thank you, Scotty, for all that you do. Thank you, CC.
You're welcome.
The real infopreneur, for all that you do and are doing, and for bringing me to the Black Radio Network family. And with that being said, we will see you guys next Thursday. CC, you want to say something?
I want to say, thank you all for listening. Thank you, Brother Cortez. Thank you, Scotty. We look forward to working with you all later on in the future. You've been listening to Blacks in Business Radio on Black Talk Radio Network, where we're here every week, every Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us again next week, and good night.